This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. It's your weekly blitz with Chris, keeping you in the game.
Are you ready to supercharge your auto repair business? This is Coach Chris Cotton from AutoFix Auto Shop Coaching. The weekly blitz is where industry expertise and business innovation collide, revving your engines for the week ahead. Every episode has game-changing insights, up-to-the-minute industry updates, and practical tips to shift your business into high gear. We're talking about stuff you didn't even know you didn't know, folks. This episode is brought to you by Shop Marketing Pros, the experts in marketing for top-tier auto repair shops. If you're running a successful shop and want to take it to the next level, Shop Marketing Pros is without a doubt your best option. From websites and SEO to social media and digital ads, Shop Marketing Pros help shop owners just like you and me fill our bays, grow our revenue, and build the life we've been working for. If you're ready to take the guesswork out of your marketing, I want you to visit shopmarketingpros.com/Chris and get a free digital marketing inspection and start building the shop of your dreams today. Hey, everybody, Coach Chris Cotton here. Welcome back to the Weekly Blitz, where we help shop owners cut through the chaos and take real control of their business. You're not going to. You're tuning into episode 5 of our Back to Basics series, and I hope you've been following along because we've covered a lot of ground so far. We've talked about shop language and vocabulary, key performance indicators, how communication makes or breaks success, and how to create a smooth workflow through SOPs. But no matter how we do all that, none of that works without one critical piece, and that's having the right tools and equipment. I'm going to be super clear here. Number one, I'm not a technician, so there's probably somebody better than me to tell you about some of the stuff that we need. But again, this is back to basics. Like, this is for somebody that's just starting out, doesn't know what they need, somebody that maybe is growing and is ready to take it to the next level, or somebody that's been in business in 25 years and is missing something and needs to go back. So we're not just talking about ratchets and lifts. We're talking about diagnostic tools, software, digital inspections, parts carts, and even the environment your team works in every day. So today's episode is going to help you sort out what tools you actually need, what's a nice to have, and what's probably just collecting dust and burning cash. Okay, so let's get into it. So I'm putting quotations in the air for those of you that aren't watching around this. So having the wrong tools or the right tools used the wrong way costs your shop more than you think. You're going to lose time, maybe some technician morale. You lose customer trust when comebacks happen, and you lose money every day. Something simple takes longer than it should. This is one of the reasons why we've got 4-bay shops just kicking the crap out of 6- and 8-bay shops. They're doing more with less. They're more productive. They're getting rid of unnecessary steps. I've worked with shops that have $300,000 worth of equipment, and they still can't get a simple brake job done in under 2 hours because nobody knows where anything is or how to use what they have. On the other side, I've coached smaller shops with modest equipment who crush it because they've invested wisely, trained well, and prioritize the tools that make money daily. What are the must-have, the essentials? We're going to break this into 5 categories. Number one, lifting and hoisting. At least one high-quality 2-post lift per tech is ideal. That 2-post lift needs to have a lifting capacity of bigger than what you're going to do, by my estimation, because typically, at some point, we might want to expand. We bought a 10,000-pound lift, and we really wish we would have bought the 12. Okay. I think every shop should have one drive-on rack for things that we need to look at really quickly. Again, if you're doing alignments, you're going to need one. Oil changes, vehicles with low clearance. When we're talking about lifts and hoisting, don't go cheap here. Lifts are a foundational tool that affects everything else. The other thing is, depending on what state you're in, they could require that those lifts be inspected every year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever that is. Know your local rules and regulations and make sure you're getting those things inspected, because the last thing you want to do is have somebody get hurt, have OSHA show up and be like, oh, your lifts haven't been inspected in 20 years. Okay. Look for worn arms, missing pins, cracked welds. Those are all not OSHA problems. Those are accidents waiting to happen. Number two, diagnostic tools. Obviously, OBD2 scanners are table stakes, but go further, right? So you need to invest in at least one high-level diagnostic platform, Autel, Launch, Snap-on, all these other ones. Also, don't forget factory-specific scan tools if you specialize. We also have pressure testers, smoke machines, lab scopes. You know, these aren't luxuries. They're essentials for anything beyond quick service. Also, if you're diagnosing electrical or drivability issues without the right tools, you're either guessing or you're spending three times the time on the job. Number three, this might be overlooked, but everybody in America needs to have a DVI system. If you're not using a digital inspection platform, you're leaving average repair order on the table, dollars on the table, whatever you want to do, plain and simple. DVI tools build trust, they improve closing rates, and they give advisors the backup they need to confidently sell work. You know, bonus, customers love photos. They feel like they're making an informed decision if you give them pictures, video, etc. Also, just have a DVI train on it. Set standards for photos, video, and commentary. I think I've mentioned this thing, DVI, in every one of our episodes so far in one way or another. I'd have to go back and double check. It is that important, people. Number four, efficiency tools. This is your shop's unsung hero list. Parts carts, one per bay, no wasted steps. Battery testers and chargers. Test every car, print it out, email it to the technician, put it on the inspection, do it on every car. Something that we've just started in our shop is oil extractors. I think this is a game changer for quick services. You take it in there, you put it, boom, suck the oil out, suck the gear oil out, suck the power steering fluid out, and you can really do some great things with those. It sounds silly, but labeled and organized tool boards, if it takes 5 minutes to find a specialty socket, you're losing money. Also, label all of your in-house parts. Make sure you have a label printer. If you have inventory bins, do that. If you have a vendor that does those things, make your vendor do that. We just recently switched to a bolt vendor. It's amazing. I walk back there, even though I have no business digging through bolts, I know what every bin is and can look at. It's also all barcoded if we wanted to use a barcode inventory, all that. The other thing is every time a tech walks to the front counter, your efficiency drops. You need to eliminate wasted motion. Number five, shop software management tools, your shop management system, Techmetric, Shopware, Autoleap should be central to scheduling, estimates, parts ordering, labor guides, profit tracking. Cloud-based platforms let you manage the shop from anywhere. Huge for owners who want to work on the business instead of in it. Other critical add-ons that go with that, inspection integrations, CRM for follow-ups and reminders, text-to-pay and digital authorization systems. I have maybe a separate take on text-to-pay. You need to have some rules and regulations around that, right? You should not be chasing paper ROs in 2025. Get your tech stack dialed in. So if we're talking about what to avoid, shiny objects, common money pits, the biggest money pit that most shop owners have in their business is the $50,000 alignment rack. You know, it looks sweet in the brochure. It's great to tell everybody you do alignments, but is it a good investment? Just because it's cool doesn't mean it's profitable. One of the big things I see is somebody's like, ooh, I've been subletting alignments. I want to do alignments. It's going to make me a ton of money. The alignment salesman did the ROI on it. And then I talk to him and I'm like, okay, how many alignments did we sublet this week? And the answer is three. And I say, what was our car count for the week? 50. And so I tell that person, so you're telling me 3 out of 50 cars get an alignment and you want to buy a machine? No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Maybe if you can take that 3 to 3 a day, that might be something worth looking at. You need to make sure that your sales staff's on board with it. You need to make sure that your technical staff is on board with it, because just because you have it in the shop doesn't mean you're going to sell it, doesn't mean you're going to use it. There's a process and a procedure around that. Maybe that goes to this, like some of the common traps, buying too early. Don't drop big money on specialized tools before you're ready to service that type of vehicle consistently or have that type of service consistently. One trick ponies, tools that only work on one or two vehicle models aren't worth the space unless you're Euro or diesel only. Gimmicky tools from trade shows, if nobody in your shop knows how to use it properly, it's probably going to become an expensive paperweight. Lack of training, a great tool in the hands of an untrained tech equals no ROI. I want you to always budget for training alongside tool purchases. So let's talk about trade shows for a minute. A lot of shop owners go to trade shows, they buy a bunch of stuff, then they get back and then it's like, oh, maybe that wasn't a good idea. Most trade shows have their special run another week after the trade show's over. So what I want you to do is I want you to go identify all the things you'd like to have. Then I want you to go back and sit and look at everything that's on that list and be like, what do I really need? What do I not need? And then go back and purchase it if you have the money set aside. Try not to make spur of the moment decisions when you're buying $50,000 equipment. Okay. If we're thinking about buying tools and equipment, I want you to ask yourself, will this tool make or save me money in 90 days? If the answer is no, wait. If the answer is yes, I want you to move forward and be like, how much money? What's the return on it? Number two, I want you to invest in tools that reduce labor hours per job. More productivity equals more profit. It equals more technician happiness. It equals fewer backlogs. Number three, I want you to involve your techs in buying decisions. Let them demo the tools. Let them give you a list. Let them help choose what works. Buy-in equals better use and care. I want to put a pin in this right here for just a minute. We have a new apprentice showing up tomorrow. Young kid, 17, 18, has no tools. I went to our master technician and I said, Socket, give me a list of everything this kid should have that I don't want him going onto the Snap-on truck, the Matco truck, and spending any of his money on there. I want to set him up right. He made me a list. I spent $1,500, $1,700, got the roll cart, got the battery-powered impacts, got everything else we thought he would need. And now when he shows up to work tomorrow, he's going to be set and ready to go. He's not going to owe anybody a penny. We're going to sit him down and be like, hey, these tools are not for granted. They need to be cleaned. They need to be checked every day. This is important for you. The main point in that is Chris Cotton should not be writing a list of tools that technicians need because there's no telling what you would get. So number four, set a monthly tool or equipment budget. Even 2 to 3% of gross sales reinvested in equipment goes a long way when it's consistent. You know, if we're talking about profit first, if you have no debt, if you're netting 25%, then one of those accounts, maybe you turn the debt account over into a tool equipment budget and you look at what you need, $10,000. Oh, I got $18,000 in my equipment budget. I can buy that without problem and I can cut a check for it. So no financing, anything else. That's the quick and dirty on that. Again, your shop is only as productive as the tools you invest in and only as profitable as the discipline you apply to using them. Having great tools doesn't mean anything if your team doesn't know how or isn't held accountable to use them right. And you don't need a $300,000 equipment room to be a top-tier shop. You just need the right gear for the right jobs with the right systems. If you're overwhelmed by what to buy, what to budget, or how to get your team using the tools you already have, I'd love to help. Head over to autoshopcoaching.com. Book a free 30-minute session with me. We'll go over your current setup and help you prioritize what's worth your money and what's not. I want to give another shout out to our sponsor, Shop Marketing Pros. They're the only marketing company I recommend, and they handle all of the marketing for my own shop as well. If you're serious about growth, you need strategies that actually work, better websites, higher Google rankings, and ads that bring real customers through your doors. I want you to go visit shopmarketingpros.com/Chris and partner with a team that understands your business, because every great shop deserves marketing that's just as great. Thanks for tuning in to the Weekly Blitz. Remember, it's time to rise, grind, and keep your mindset positive. Until next time, this is the Coach Chris Cotton signing off. Have a great day, everybody.
You've been listening to the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton on the AftermarketRadioNetwork.com. Follow Chris on your favorite podcast listening app. Let him know what you'd like him to cover. His email is in the show notes. Chris is all for advancing the aftermarket.